failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Century of Lies. Glad you could be with us. Today we're going to hear a debate between Mr. Mason Tavert and a DEA agent up in Colorado. I think you'll be surprised by what you hear. We'll also hear from several of the Drug Truth Network reporters, and I'm trying to get ready for my trip to Bolivia, producing several shows today and tomorrow in anticipation of releasing them before we go. First up, let's go to some of our Drug Truth Network reporters.
The United Nations reported last week on opium production in Myanmar, the nation formerly known as Burma. The good news is, less land in Myanmar is being devoted to production of opium poppies, dropping from 32,800 hectares in 2005 to 21,500 hectares in 2006, a decline of 34%. The bad news is, Myanmar's actual opium production increased from 312 metric tons to 315 metric tons. The reason? Estimated average opium yield increased from 9.5 kilograms per hectare to 14.7 kilograms per hectare. Opium production also increased in the other two countries of the Golden Triangle. In Laos, land devoted to poppy cultivation increased from 1,800 hectares to 2,500 hectares, with yield increasing from 14.4 metric tons to 20 metric tons. Thailand saw the smallest increase, from 119 hectares in 2005 to 157 hectares in 2006, yielding an estimated 1.8 metric tons of opium in 2005 and 2.4 metric tons of opium in 2006. All this is a drop in the bucket compared with Afghanistan's outstanding output this year of some 6,100 metric tons of opium, cultivated on 165,000 hectares of land. Now consider this. Very little of the opium from those countries makes it to the U.S. market. Most of the heroin in the U.S. comes from Mexico, which was estimated to have cultivated only 3,300 hectares of poppies in 2005, or from Colombia, which was estimated to have cultivated only 2,000 hectares of poppies in 2005. A small amount of the heroin in the U.S. comes from Southwest Asia, including Afghanistan. An even smaller amount of it these days comes from the Golden Triangle. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org.
Mr. Doug McVeigh recently got himself some audio recording equipment. He's going to Brussels, Belgium to attend an international conference on drugs, and he'll be producing some segments for us himself here in the very near future.
Poppygate, bizarre news about the U.S. policy on controlling heroin, featuring Glenn Greenway.
The Taliban ruled Afghanistan from 1996 until the U.S.-led Operation Enduring Freedom in 2001 displaced their regime. In the last 2 years of Taliban governance, poppy cultivation was declared contrary to Islamic principles, precipitating the most effective drug war of the last half century. Afghan opium production plummeted from nearly 5,000 tons in 1999 to 200 tons in 2001. Since the U.S. invasion and under subsequent Western occupation, opium production has soared to a record 7,000 tons in 2006, and experts now predict next year's crop will be as big or bigger. This week, BBC journalist David Loyne interviewed Taliban commander Haji Mullah Wadullah, who had this to say on the Afghan opium prohibition of 2000-2001. Quote, "When we banned the poppy growing, the world destroyed us. The world does not want poppy growing to stop. They seem to want it to go on without restriction. If they wanted it stopped, well, we were the ones who stopped it. But they don't care about stopping it. The Taliban are now taxing the crop and providing protection for growers. The illegal drug trade is believed to provide the Taliban's primary funding for their increasingly violent resistance to Western occupation. This year, 3 million Afghanis cultivated poppy. This week, 33,000 Americans will be arrested for drug offenses." This is Glenn Greenway reporting for the Drug Truth Network.
Up in Colorado, a group known as SAFER has put forward the idea that adults 21 and over should be allowed to have legally in their possession up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Coloradans will have the chance to vote on Amendment 44 on November 2nd to make that a reality. Because the DEA absolutely refuses to come on this show or to enter into any open public debate, as a general rule, I thought it important to bring this to you now. The debate between Mr. Mason Tvert, the campaign director of SAFER, and DEA spokesman Jeffrey Sweeten is available at their website, www.safer.org, and we're going to give you a part of it here. This October 30th debate was on KOA 850 AM's Mike Rosen Show. First up, you hear Mr. Mike Rosen.
We've had a series and will continue to have some more debates on issues and candidates on the various ballot questions. There are 14 referenda and amendments in all. Today it's Amendment 44, and this is the one that pertains to marijuana. If this were to pass, and it follows in the footsteps of something that passed in Denver, possession of 1 ounce of marijuana would no longer be against the law for adults. We've got one person on either side of this. We've got Mason Tvert is in the studio with us, and he's with the organization that's sponsoring Amendment 44. It's called Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. And we have Jeff Sweeten, who's the special agent in charge with the United States Department of Justice Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. These kinds of debates aren't Lincoln-Douglas debates, so they're more informal. We'll have a free exchange, and I'll be involved as well, so that you understand where I sit before we talk about where everybody stands here. In my column, giving recommendations on the 14 ballot questions, I recommended a yes vote on 44. Even though I don't have a dog in this fight, since recreational marijuana use doesn't fit my lifestyle, I'm not a smoker. So I'm not going to gain anything in terms of more latitude and freedom from prosecution. But I've taken a position for years regarding controlled substances, along with people like William F. Buckley and Milton Friedman, that whatever the good intentions of some are, I don't think the drug war is winnable, and it imposes massive overhead costs on our justice system, both in the courts and in jails. I prefer to tax and regulate these substances. That's where I stand personally. I don't want to pretend to be without an opinion in this, since I'm already on record in print and on the air. So what we'll do is we'll have each of the spokesmen stake out their position. We'll take some phone calls a little later as well and just go back and forth. Since the affirmative here is a yes on 44, let's start with Mason Tvert. Mason, go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself if you'd like before that.
Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation, otherwise known as SAFER, is an organization based here in Colorado whose mission is simply to educate the public about one thing, and that's the fact that marijuana, no matter how you look at it, is less harmful than alcohol, both to the people who use it as well as to our society in general. And we simply don't think it makes sense to punish those adults who simply make the safer choice to use marijuana instead of alcohol. We got our organization started at the campuses of CU and CSU and have since spread that message to the city of Denver and now statewide. And we think that the people of Colorado are not interested in maintaining this war on marijuana that is currently being fought here in our state, and are interested in changing the status quo so that we can start saving money and ruining lives, really. I mean, we really are hurting people's lives, the innocent lives of people who simply use a less harmful drug than we have no problem with people using in alcohol. So we're looking for a simple change, and that's what this initiative will do. It'll simply amend state statutes, not the Constitution, but state statutes to remove the criminal penalties and the threat of arrest for adults who simply choose to use marijuana instead of alcohol.
Let's get the response from Jeffrey Sweeten. Jeff.
If you read the ballot initiative, there's no mention in that ballot initiative of alcohol. So, you know, one of my concerns is that we talk a lot about alcohol. I'm willing to stipulate up front that alcohol causes a lot of problems in our society. But this amendment is not about alcohol. It has nothing to do with alcohol. It only does to SAFER. SAFER constantly says, you've got your alcohol, give us our marijuana. But this initiative legalizes a dangerous substance. The next thing, my concern as a federal NARC, is that the money used to buy these ounces of marijuana fuels organized crime and will continue to fuel organized crime in this state. And finally, hopefully what we'll get to in a little bit, is history shows us that what you do for adults greatly affects our kids. So as I'm not only here as a federal narc, but I'm here as a father, that you know what we do for adults and what the messages we send kids, they're already getting that message. It's bad for our kids, and history shows that.
Response, Mason.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that Mr. Sweeten and other federal law enforcement officials continually talk about money that goes towards marijuana fueling organized crime and the problems associated with the black market. But what we're seeing is the only people who support the black market and organized crime are these very same law enforcement officials, because groups like ours and many around the country and many state and local officials have been trying to get towards a system of tax regulation and control, much like one that Mike mentioned here earlier. And it's been virtually impossible because of the efforts of law enforcement officials such as Mr. Sweeten. And we don't see why our country feels the need to, you know, our federal government feels the need to impose a marijuana prohibition on all 50 states without allowing them to experiment and try new things to see what might be a better system as opposed to this failed system.
Jeff?
Well, first of all, you know, we keep talking about tax regulation and control. The voters need to understand before they walk into the ballot box that this does not do that. And I think Mason will admit that to you. And actually, Mason and I have talked a lot about this. And Mason's honest when he says, you know what, we're not ready for that, that we would not pass this initiative if we tried to include taxation and control, just like you said, Mike. So I think that's an interesting point. And the second point is, I'm a little lost on the fact that we support the black market because, you know, several weeks ago we did a press conference on just another violent marijuana slash ecstasy organization. And Mason was outside of our office, and he announced to the media that we actually had had these were political prisoners and that we had again arrested marijuana users. These were not marijuana users. These were multi-100-pound marijuana dealers that were buying guns, bulletproof vests, Uzi machine guns, and that will continue to happen. And not only will it continue to happen, there'll be more room for that in Colorado.
We'll continue in just a second, but I want to interject this thought that it is indeed the cops who want this black market to continue. The drug reformers want to end it now, tax, control, and regulate. That's what we keep saying, and that's what they keep denying. They support these criminals like nobody else.
We've been very upfront about what this initiative will do, and really all it is going to do is mean that if you're found to be in possession of a small amount of marijuana and you're over 21 years old, you're not going to be cited for it. And what we're seeing is individuals who are cited for it are losing their jobs, losing custody of their children, losing public housing. Students are losing tuition assistance. And is it really worth that? Is it really worth ruining someone's life for simply a $100 fine?
Let me go to Jeff. Is my understanding of this correctly that those are the only words that are added to the statute and the only impact will be on people 21 or older?
Well, my understanding is, as Mason said, that what this really does is it removes as a petty offense the ounce or less of marijuana for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves the petty offense to the teenage level or the people under 21. It continues a petty offense for teenagers. So, in effect, what it does is it makes that ounce possession no longer a petty offense or any kind of offense under the state law.
Might someone still be subject to federal prosecution for possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana?
Philosophically and legally, yes. In reality, no.
Because the feds don't enforce that.
Well, because we don't have the resources. Most federal cases involving possession of marijuana ends up being about anywhere, depending on which study you look at, anywhere from 90 pounds to 115 pounds for possession quantity. So the expectation that some voters may have that unlike I-100, that it'll still be illegal at the state level, the ability of the federal government to step in and enforce this in lieu of the states just does not exist.
So if state authorities aren't going to enforce it, in practice it won't be enforced.
Correct.
Okay. Now, here's another question, and this is a residue from when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I still don't understand this, so between the two of you, maybe you can help me. In the Blue Book, under analysis, they have the following paragraph. Amendment 44 allows adults 21 years of age or older to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Fair enough. Possession would include consumption or use as long as it does not occur in public. Okay. Here's the troublesome phrase. It also would include transferring up to 1 ounce of marijuana to another individual 15 years of age or older, as long as there is no compensation, although possession for those under 21 years of age would remain illegal. What's the point of bringing in this clause having to do with individuals 15 years of age or older? How has anything changed?
Well, it's a very good question, and this is something we've been struggling with. This is just one of the examples of elected officials and government officials and law enforcement officials trying to stack the deck against this initiative. They fought tooth and nail to get this this part of the wording into the blue book, and it's clearly not. It causes more concern and more questions than it actually solves. And what will happen if this passes is it'll, like you said, remain illegal for anyone under 21 to possess any amount of marijuana, and it'll remain illegal to give any amount of marijuana to a minor. But they put this in there to scare people into thinking it'll be about giving marijuana to kids.
What's the key? What's the meaning of the word transferring here?
Well, I think they're suggesting that if you were to, say, I think pass a joint to someone, since that would be transferring marijuana, but clearly it's not distribution as if you're selling it, that would be considered possession. And that's something our state legislature back in the 70s put into this. So what's interesting is Attorney General Southers is going around the state saying that we're so sloppy. But the fact is the legislature back in the 70s decided that simply passing a joint to someone should not be considered distribution of drugs. It should be considered the same as possessing them, and it still will be. But if our initiative passes, it will no longer be a Class 2 petty offense for someone over 21 to give marijuana to a minor. Instead, it will be a felony. And that's what's interesting here, is that if our initiative passes, it will be a Class 4 felony to give any amount of marijuana to a minor under the Delinquency of a Minor Clause. But our opponents would prefer it remain a $100 petty offense.
And the minor who then has that marijuana transferred to him is still in violation
that
of the
correct.
Law because he's in possession. Do I understand that correctly, Jeff?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've just hit on a couple issues. First of all, I didn't write the blue book. The blue book, there's some confusion in the law. Anytime you try to pass a very complicated issue in a one-paragraph ballot initiative, there's automatically going to be concern. But I think what we need to hit on here is that you said a minute ago, now I'm looking at your blue book, you've got stuff highlighted and question marks, kind of like many of the voters do. You said at the outset, you support Amendment 44,
yes.
But you have no idea what it's about.
Well, I have a good idea what it's about. It's the sentence that makes no sense to me, and it seems like it was inserted only to scare people.
Okay, yeah. Well, it may have been.
I don't see the meaning of it.
I didn't insert it. But
I've heard behind the scenes that there was a lot of debate about this, and the anti-Amendment 44 forces wanted that in there to convey an impression, and I think it conveys a very misleading impression.
Well, that's a different interview. I wasn't one of those forces.
I understand.
I didn't debate that.
Well, I was just hoping to get a better understanding.
What I'm trying to explain to you here is you started out.
Mm-hmm.
People listen to you. Your listeners now have heard Mike Rosen supports this, yet you're as confused about it as everybody that will vote for it. So I think what you've got is, and you said in your article, that ballot initiatives are troublesome because people don't do the research. So they don't do the research. They turn on the radio and they hear, vote for this, there'll be taxation regulation, which there is not. Please look in the blue book and show me where there will be marijuana taxation control and regulation.
It's
not there.
Let me clarify my position. I'm really not confused about the substance of Amendment 44. I'm confused about the wording of this clause in the blue book, which is supposed to help people understand it better, and I thought this was mischievous. I think this is a meaningless sentence.
Well, it may be.
I'm hoping you could explain it to me.
Well, the people that put that in there, I think, are concerned with a loophole in the law, and SAFER has said that immediately after this passes, they'll go back with their lawyers and fix it. This is not the only problem in this law. And to spend, you know, I don't know why they put it in there. I didn't put it in there.
I know why they put it in there. They put it in there as a device to scare people away from this.
Has it scared you away?
No, because I'm rational.
So it was a waste
of
time.
But other people are, no, it isn't a waste of time because they're doing this to influence other people. Help me with this. Let me ask it one more time. If Amendment 44 passes, what can 15-year-olds do legally in the wake of Amendment 44 passing regarding marijuana possession that they can't now do legally?
Well, they can be passed marijuana. There can be a transfer to kids. Possession of marijuana...
But kids still can't have
correct.
It legally, can they?
No. Possession of marijuana by kids will continue to be illegal.
Okay.
So hopefully I've clarified some of that. But, you know, there are a whole myriad of confusions that are created by a law like this.
Well,
hold that thought. Sure. We've got to take a break. Then we'll try to clear up some of those confusions after this on News Radio 850 KOA. 1026 the time, 303-713-8585, our telephone number. We're debating Amendment 44. This is the marijuana amendment. Mason Tvert is with the group Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. He's in favor of this. Jeffrey Sweeten is with us. He's with the Drug Enforcement Administration. He's opposed to it. Pick up where you left off. We were just about to get into a point before we broke. I think, Mason, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just wanted to point out that, you know, Mr. Sweeten, like many of our opponents, are trying to make this a lot more confusing and difficult than it really is. Because the only change that's going to occur if Amendment 44 passes is that whereas right now an adult over 21 possessing less than an ounce of marijuana would be handed a $100 civil citation, they would no longer be handed that citation. That's the only difference. It would still be illegal at every level other than that. And the people should know that. They should know that giving marijuana to kids is going to be illegal, that using it in public is going to be illegal, that driving under the influence is going to be illegal. And our opponents are only bringing up those types of issues, driving, kids, everything this issue is not. And I think that's unfortunate because we're simply trying to have a debate about whether an adult over 21 should be allowed to use marijuana. And I want to ask Mr. Sweeten, let's just put this in an ideal situation. Let's say take kids out of it, take driving out of it. Let's just say personally or through your organization, do you think an adult should be allowed to use marijuana privately in any shape or form? If it doesn't affect anyone else, should they be allowed to use it or not?
Anything that didn't affect anybody else, I think they should be allowed to do. The issue is, you know, Mason is a very charismatic activist guy. I actually enjoy talking to Mason. Mason's 24 years old. He's got the life experience of a 24-year-old. I've been in this business for 24 years, and I will tell you that there's no such thing as a toxic, intoxicating substance that doesn't affect other people. So if we want to talk about marijuana just in terms of the adults, that's fine. That's a great legal argument. I'm not here to make a legal argument. I'm here to tell the voters of Colorado that history, the Alaska example, all these previous experiments that I think Mason would imply that haven't happened, show you that teen use will go up, teen addiction go up, drunk driving, of course, goes up. People will die as a result of intoxicated drivers. And the other thing I want to mention is that we keep talking about the alcohol thing, and you know, I stipulate that alcohol causes a lot of problems for society. But the issue is that I think Safer wants us to believe that people will say, okay, marijuana is legal now, I'll opt out of alcohol. Well, I will tell you from my 24 years of experience as opposed to him, we don't find marijuana by itself. We don't find alcohol by itself. We found alcohol, marijuana, ecstasy. We find a whole myriad of drugs together. And the research tells you, and please don't believe me, go online, read the research, do a search on marijuana dangers. Start reading some of this research and find out for yourselves before you vote that it does affect your kids. It does affect, there's a huge cost of treatment that we're going to have to pay. So if this didn't affect anybody else, I wouldn't be here. I don't care. It doesn't affect my job, an ounce of marijuana.
Well, I would have to say that I've been perfectly upfront about the effect of this initiative, and if this initiative passes, it will simply create a demand for a system of tax regulation. As Mr. Sweeten here knows, there is absolutely under no circumstance any way a state can tax and regulate marijuana until the DEA removes marijuana as a Schedule I drug. And they have no interest in doing that anytime soon. And the fact is that if Nevada's initiative passes, the only thing that's actually going to take effect is it's going to be legal for adults 21 and older to possess up to 1 ounce privately. The rest of it is going to be completely enjoined by the federal government and not take place. Now, there are people such as apparently yourself and Mr. Sweeten who would prefer we put up a smokescreen of tax and regulation in order to convince people of all the benefits this could have. But we're not going to do that. We're going to be perfectly honest and say that that is not possible until we remove the penalties for private adult marijuana use. A society that does not accept the use of marijuana amongst adults is not going to accept the sale of marijuana amongst adults.
So this is designed as a first step, but not the last step.
Yeah, this would be the largest. This would be not only a first step, but the first time in history that people have allowed adults to use marijuana. I don't understand how we can go to such a system so quickly.
All right, we've got 2.5 minutes left. Let's have closing arguments, about 1 minute and 15 seconds each. First from Jeff Sweeten.
I just remind everybody this sale of drugs will still be illegal. The money used to buy drugs will go to organized crime, dangerous people that carry guns and move other drugs to your kids. History shows you in Alaska and other places that This will be tragic for your kids. And don't, you know, people will tell you that are in the drug world, be careful where you get your drugs. I would tell you, be careful where you get your advice on what your kids are going to take.
Mason.
Well, I think it's a perfect example of reefer madness all over again. Mr. Sweeten is saying this is going to hurt your kids. He's saying it's going to hurt society, when in fact, the only thing that's going to change if Amendment 44 passes is that adults over 21 will no longer be criminals for simply using marijuana instead of alcohol, when it is, according to every objective study, including the DEA, less harmful than alcohol.
Alcohol is legal now. For a while, it was illegal. The practical arguments against prohibition didn't carry the day. We had prohibition. It didn't work. We repealed it. I think we can see the effects of laws that try to dictate human behavior when humans refuse to obey those laws. In this case, are we adding on to an existing a policy that we now have that has negative side effects, alcohol use, we all understand that. Are we going to increase the negative side effects associated with substance abuse by adding marijuana to alcohol?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I want to send in a special thanks to KOA and Mr. Mike Rosen. I'm going to see if I can get him to join us on the Drug Truth Network.
And now for another black perspective on the drug war. By now, you should be well aware that reefer madness is just a drug war fantasy. Marijuana does not cause insanity. But there are drugs out there on the street that do. And I'd like to warn you about one of them right now. This highly addictive, psychoactive drug can cause poisoning of the prefrontal cortex of the brain, just above the eye sockets, which generates toxic dementia. Deteriorating intellect is the first stage of this drug-induced allergic toxicity. Symptoms range from minimal reactions to severe psychotic states, which may include irrational behavior, disruptions in attention, lack of focus and comprehension, mood changes, lack of organizational skills, abrupt shifting of activities, delusions, hallucinations, and paranoia. It's often mistaken for hyperactivity, ADD, anxiety, or panic disorder. Brought into this country by the ton from places like Colombia, where it is grown, this drug is peddled on practically every street corner in America, and the police are powerless to stop it. Some cops have even been found using it while on duty. Now, you would probably be pretty upset to discover that your babysitter was an addict, or that your surgeon was operating under the influence, or that someone in your child's school was selling it to young students. But it's probably true, because the drug I'm talking about is caffeine. Yes, shipped by the ton by men like the affable avuncular Juan Valdez, sold at every street corner Starbucks. Even the most tight-fisted employer is happy to provide it free of charge and allow you time away from your desk to get your fix of caffeine. Does your child really have ADD? Or is she suffering from a drug-induced allergic toxicity caused by her six-pack-a-day cola habit? Maybe it's time to stop telling fairy tales about the marijuana boogeyman and start getting real about the dangerous drugs we are exposed to every single day. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Phil Jackson.
Once again, I want to make note that there is no truth, justice, logic, scientific fact, or medical data sufficient to justify this eternal war on our own people. Prohibido está, Ivalesco.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Dean Becker, asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston. Our engineer, Philip Duffy.